The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host and husband, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We have a special guest. We have Sharon Generati, who is a local lender and manager. How are you today?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
We're so excited you're here. This is a great topic we want to talk about as we are opening the new year. People are getting ready to hit the pavement and find a house and buy it. And we want to talk about all the stuff that you do, okay?
Very good.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at the jruddy.com website, check out the Dunmore Corners live webcam camera. We have a camera up on the roof, and you can see what's going on at the corners any time of the day.
Weather conditions.
Yeah, too. That's what everybody's checking.
Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is also mobile friendly. Sharon Generati, manager and loan officer, local lender. Would you please tell me how long you've been doing what you do?
I've been doing mortgage for a little over 20 years.
Okay. Have they changed in that 20 years?
Yes, they have changed tremendously. A lot of change. It was very kind of like Wild West for many years, tightened up a lot, and now it's loosening back up. Much easier for first-time homebuyers.
Okay, first-time homebuyers. That's what we want to talk about. What's the program that's best suited or most recognized by most first-time homebuyers these days?
I would say best recognized or most suited for first-time homebuyer is probably the FHA loan.
And that is, FHA stands for?
The Federal Housing Administration.
It's a government loan?
It is a government loan. It requires a minimum of 3.5% down. It can be gifted. It can be their own funds. Just can't be mattress money. Can't be something they had out in the backyard.
So mattress money is considered money that is not...
Right. Money that cannot be documented where it came from. Okay. So if you have money at home in a safe and in a jar and in your piggy bank, you want to get it into the bank at least 60 days prior to deciding to buy a house.
Okay. Now, conventional loans, the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, those are the type of mortgages that you go to an everyday bank and you would get a conventional type of loan. The FHA is desirable because it's less down.
It is less down. Now, Fannie and Freddie both have a 3% or a 5% down program, but it's not as easygoing as the FHA loan. FHA loan gives the borrower, they can have less of a credit score, don't have to have a great credit score for FHA. They don't have to have all the money for closing. They can get a 6% seller assist FHA.
Compared to a conventional,
they're going to be limited to a 3% seller assist with the 3% down or the 5% down. If you get to where you're putting 10% down, then you can do the 6% seller as well on a conventional. But FHA, the guidelines are a little less stringent than conventional. So it's great for a first-time home buyer, maybe someone that's had some credit issues in the past, someone that had a couple lates here or there, or is not sure they even have any credit. We can build a credit score and get them into a house.
It's interesting you say that FHA is more lenient because sellers resist FHA loans. A lot of the listings, people that I work with, on the listing side, sellers, the owners of properties, hear horror stories about FHA. How many loans do you do during the course of the year? If you were to break it down percentage-wise, how many are FHA?
I would say out of my purchase loans for the year, 75-80% of them are FHA loans.
Okay. So that's a lot.
And, you know, I think your sellers are, a lot of times the sellers are afraid. FHA used to be very, very stringent. I know when I first got in this business, there was a lot of other opportunities or other loan programs out there. And I stayed away from FHA because of the guidelines required for the housing. You know, the property has to be in decent shape. It's not as bad as it used to be. Like, obviously, you can have no peeling or chip paint. No broken glass, no, you know, missing handrails. But it used to be a lot more stringent appraisal-wise than it is today. So it's much easier for a house to pass an FHA inspection today than it was, say, 15, 20 years ago.
Well, I just recently, I have a story about an offer that we received on a property, and it was an FHA loan, and that's the buyer's choice, what type of loan. And the attorney, so, well, this is what I'm being told by the seller, that the attorney that was reviewing the offer for on behalf of one of the sellers said that they didn't suggest that they take anything with an FHA loan, that it won't go to closing. So that disturbs me if an attorney is saying that, that it's more than likely not going to close, or it's going to take 9 months, or it's going to be completely impossible and just forget about it.
Yeah, it makes me wonder why he would say that, what, you know, what he was basing that on, because majority of the time, they're easier to close than a conventional loan.
I agree. And we've been seeing my office and my in our price range in our market does a tremendous amount of FHA loans. I wouldn't say 75 to 80% like you do, but a good portion of the sales, the closed sales that we did in 2015 were absolutely FHA, and no doubt about it. And it's a good program for people to consider.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great program, especially, like I said, for someone that, you know, may have had, you know, a scattered credit history in the past, or is, you know, has limited funds to work with.
Okay. So you mentioned a lower credit score. What's the credit score that's allowed with the FHA?
Well, normally we like to see at least a 600. We will go down to a 580. 580 to 600 is going to be a little bit more documentation required. We're going to need to see some reserve, which means they're going to have a like 3 months worth of payments put away, or you know, or have it available to them. Could be as easy as having a 401k plan at work that you have some money in. We can count that. Doesn't mean you have to take it out. We just have to show you have it. Over a 600, same requirement. They just need the, you know, 600 score, just a 3.5% down, and they can have the rest of the funds gifted, or they can have a 6% seller. A lot of times they can get into the house with just a 3.5 out of their pocket, plus their appraisal and maybe their inspection fees.
So 6%, when you're saying a seller's assist, let's talk about the seller's assist and define that. 6% of the sales price would be allowed to be a credit for the buyer's closing costs.
Correct. 6% of the sales price gets credited to the borrower at closing to cover the closing fees. Majority of the time, that does cover the closing fees. You get the rare instance, and it depends on the loan amount, because obviously 6% of 150 versus 6% of a $60,000 home is a difference. So majority of the time you do, that will cover the closing fees, other than if you're in an area where the taxes may be very high. Sometimes in the city of Scranton, where the transfer tax is 4.4 versus 2%, like it is in Luzerne or other parts of Lackawanna County, you know, that may require a couple more dollars. But majority of the times, the 6% will cover, you know, what they need to close.
Okay. And it's completely ethical and allowable. Sellers sometimes get thrown by it. I like to define it as something like creative financing. It's not money that will actually pass through the seller's hands, but it's a credit towards the buyer. And if it gets the house sold, it's absolutely worth considering.
Absolutely. Not only does it help the seller sell the house, but it helps the borrower get into the house. And I'm going to say 95% of the loans we do today have a seller assist of some sort on them.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
And why do you think that, the whole idea behind that is?
Well, I think it, like, again, I think it's a good selling point for the seller. If the seller is able to offer that seller assist, it makes their house more attractive. And the other thing is too, you know, years ago you needed 20% to buy a house. Now you get, if you know tax time's coming, you get a nice tax return. If you can come up with your 3.5%, but you need some help with the closing costs, that's the ideal way to do it. You know, talk to your realtor, to have them talk to the seller, get the seller assistant. You know, you can get into a house with little to nothing out of your pocket
without depleting your cash reserves.
Absolutely,
without depleting your cash. You can save that for your emergency fund. If you know you're buying a house, maybe down the road you're going to have to do something, windows or furnace or roof or something like that.
Right. We definitely don't want to see you wipe out everything you have just to get into the house, because things pop up. You know how it is.
Right. Sharon, how does someone get in touch with you? Sharon Generati, local lender, please.
Well, you can call me on my cell phone at 570-417-1428, or you can visit my website at www.sharongenerati.com. That's SharonGenerati.com.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Today, we're talking with Sharon regarding some programs available, a local lender. She's also a manager. She's been doing this 20 years. We're having a fantastic discussion about FHA. We're going to be headed towards a break. Before we go, is there anything that you want to mention?
No, I think if you have any questions about FHA, please feel free to reach out to myself or Jackie. We'd be happy to help you out.
Thank you, Sharon. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a 6-unit that's 2 buildings on one property at 1317 Adams Avenue in Dunmore for $275,000. All 6 units are rented with separate utilities. There are 5 1-bedroom apartments and 1 2-bedroom apartment. This building has a very good cash flow, and it is perfect for the investor. That's a 6-unit property at 1317 Adams Avenue in Dunmore for $275,000, and that's listed by Nick Lawler of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And foreign investors rush to snag U.S. housing. You're going to be amazed by this article. I know you like these articles, Pat.
Yes,
I
do.
You handpick them. You do a lot of research,
No, you do all the research. You're the one sitting at the kitchen table going through stuff all night.
I find it fascinating. I love what I do, and I love reading about things. So the economic downturn in China and South America, along with the instability in many parts of Middle East and Europe, are prompting nervous, wealthy foreigners to pour their money into the U.S. residential real estate. They're paying cash and driving up home prices. Chinese investors are leading the charge. Chinese investors want to protect their wealth by diversifying their assets by buying U.S. real estate. In 2015, buyers from China have, for the first time ever, surpassed Canadians as the top foreign buyers in the U.S. They have poured $28.6 billion into U.S. homes at an average price, going to knock your socks off on this one, $831,000.
I guess they're not buying them around here.
Well, I was going to say that. They need to come to the Northeast.
They must be in Manhattan somewhere.
Yes. Chinese buyers accounted for 27.5% of the $104 billion that foreign buyers spent on U.S. homes. In most states, offshore money accounts for only 3% or less of total home sales, but in 4 states, it's significant. Florida, it's 21%, California, it's 16%, Texas, 8%, and Arizona, 5%. And in some trophy cities in these states, the percentages are huge. Similar dynamics are playing out in New York, where 15% of all transactions are to foreign buyers, you called it. Brazilians, meanwhile, are among the top buyers in South Florida's luxury condo market. Miami Beach is a magnet, and Brazilians own nearly half of the condos at West South Beach. Also playing a huge role in U.S. purchases are the Canadians and the Japanese. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ready, broker room Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
I'm still here. How you doing?
How are you?
Pretty good.
You love this topic.
Some other things are more interesting to me.
All right. This is Sharon Generati, local lender. She's a loan officer and manager. How are you?
I'm very good, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
I'm enjoying our discussion.
I am too.
First half of the show, we talked about FHA, the Federal Housing Administration program, which you do quite a bit of. You did about 75 to 80% of your loans last year were the FHA. It's a good program. Buyers like them because they don't have to put as much down. They can get a higher seller's assist. That's the money back towards their closing costs. And their credit doesn't have to be stellar.
Correct. Credit does not have to be impeccable. Absolutely.
Okay. So it's a program that's very desirable and you like doing them. There's not a ton of paperwork. It doesn't take 10 years to close. And I mean, in the past, there were problems getting it to the closing table, but we don't have those type of issues these days.
Absolutely not. We look to normally a 45-day contract. We can close them in 30. I've closed them quicker than that. It really depends on the buyer and how quickly they get us everything we need. And as long as your appraisal, your appraisal gets done on time and title work's done, 30, 45 days is a normal average closing time.
It's doable.
It is absolutely doable. And, we didn't mention either. I mean, FHA, the rates are awesome on FHA loans as well. So that's something else that a first-time home buyer can consider.
You mentioned closing time, that you can close something in 30 to 45 days. Not sure if the listeners realize what we know, what happened back in October 2015. There were some major, major changes to what we do, especially what you do, what the title company does, attorneys on the buyer side, the title search. Getting to closing has been a little bit more challenging, but where you are, and you've been doing this 20 years, you've stayed on top of these changes. You did whatever you had to do to make sure that you were on top of them, and you're still getting them closed in this record time.
We are, absolutely. The borrower that has been through a loan before, has done a mortgage before, may recognize a good faith estimate or a settlement statement. It's now a closing disclosure in place of the good faith estimate, and a loan estimate in place of the good faith estimate, and a closing disclosure in place of the HUD or settlement statement. Basically, the only change is the borrower and now needs to see these at least 3 days prior to closing. That closing disclosure has to go out. They have to, if it's e-disclosed, they have to acknowledge it within 3 days of closing. If it's mailed, it's 7 days within closing. So what we do, where I work, is once we have the loan commitment, the appraisal, and the title, we will issue that closing disclosure, even if we're 15, 20 days away from a closing date, because once that's out, it's finished, it's put together. Minor things can change that aren't going to make us redisclose. But at this point, it allows us to meet the closing date without having any issues or last minute problems.
So if there is a change to the detriment of the buyer's finances, in other words, they have to come in with more money, what happens right before closing?
If something changes and it changes by more than an eighth to the APR, which is your annual percentage rate, it needs to be redisclosed. And then we have to wait 3 days or 7 days again, depending on whether it's e-disclosed or mailed. So by us getting it out way ahead of time, if the title company has to change or we have to add a fee or something changes that was unexpected, we have time to rectify that and still close on the closing date.
And what if somebody didn't? Another lender?
Well, some companies are waiting for the loan to be cleared to close before issuing that, which is pushing your closing date out, especially if you have a borrower that's dragging their feet getting paperwork in, or you're waiting on, maybe a final inspection on an appraisal or something to that effect.
So what do you want to say to sellers and buyers out there that have been through this process? You want to tell them, expect some changes? There's been some changes. And what do you recommend doing?
Definitely expect some changes. I would recommend when your lender asks you for something, don't hesitate to get it. Get on top of it. Stay on top of your loan. Get what they're asking for. The quicker you get it in, the smoother, the easier the transaction will be.
Now, getting back to you and what you do, you have a few things that piqued my interest when I spoke to you that other lenders don't offer that I thought were really neat, and I want to talk about that. How long is a rate lock?
Well, let's talk about the TRID again. So if we go back to TRID, prior to TRID, rate locks are normally 30 or 45 days. What we've done where I work is take our 30-day pricing, offer it at a 45-day rate lock, and if we're still, something comes up for some reason, they had to get work done, make repairs, and we're not closing, we're offering a free 7-day rate lock. So you get a 52-day rate lock for a 30-day pricing. Covers everybody's bases. If you can't close a loan in 52 days, you should look for another lender.
Right. And speaking of that, if they started off with another lender, and for whatever reason, there was a lot of red tape, they couldn't get a mortgage commitment, they were not granted financing, and they want to try you.
Well, we have another advantage over some other lenders as well. We will take another lender's appraisal. Normally, a lender will not take another lender's appraisal.
That's unheard of.
It is unheard of. And it doesn't happen all the time. 99% of the time, we can transfer in your appraisal and use the appraisal that you paid for.
Oh, that's a high percentage. 99%. You're not telling me 90. You're not telling me 80. You're telling me 99% of the time you will accept another lender. And that's big for a first-time home buyer who's already out of pocket.
Right.
Because an appraisal could be a significant amount of money.
Absolutely. You're looking somewhere probably between $400 and $500. So if you've already paid for an appraisal, and it's got to be a good appraisal. It's got to be something that hasn't expired, that's been done in the last, 90 days. Then we can transfer it in and use that appraisal to close your loan.
Okay, that's excellent. What else will you do with somebody maybe that had some credit issues in the past?
Personally, I'll work with customers that have credit issues in the past. I find they're loyal. I like to tell them what they can do to correct their credit. Sometimes, you come to me, maybe you're 5 or 6 points away from where you need to be. I'll work with you to get you up over that hump. The nice thing where I work, a lot of times, if you go to a lender, they pull your credit. They have to use that credit report they pulled until it expires, normally 90 to 120 days. What I have the option of doing, if you come to me and I pull your credit today, and maybe you're 5, 6 points away, I just had a lady that came in, she had a 599 score, 1 point away from not needing that reserve. We talked, we went over what she needed, she got her money put away, she came back about 6 weeks later, I pulled a new credit, she did what I told her, and went up to 632. Now we don't need the reserve, I can use the higher credit score. So that's an advantage that we have over some other lenders. A lot of lenders won't, if you don't have a business reason to pull a credit, you have to go with the score that you've already pulled.
Sharon Generati, loan officer and manager with a local lender. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
You can call me at my cell, 570-417-1428, or visit my website at sharongenerati.com. That's www.sharongenerotti.com.
Doing loans for 20 years.
20 plus, yes.
Okay. Talk to me, please, about employment requirements. Does someone have to be in a job forever?
Not anymore. It used to be that you needed to be in a job 2+ years, same job, same line of work. With the economy the way it's been the last 10 years, people have changed jobs, people have been displaced, people have, gone back to school. If you're in a job, and especially with FHA, I need a pay stub. I need to show you've been there 30 days. We're looking at job gaps more so than what we're looking at and what you did for employment. If you've, recently been in a job, went to a new job, but increased your salary, increased what your monthly take home is, that's a good reason to have changed a job. If you were displaced and you're going back to work and we can show that you were displaced, you were back to work, you get your 30-day pay stub. It's not like it used to be. I'm not looking for 2 years, solid employment, same job, same place, same income. So don't think that you may not qualify because of that. You definitely want to reach out and talk to a loan officer and see, exactly where you're at and what you need to do to qualify for that employment. But it's not like it used to be, years ago, that you had to be tied to the same job, same employer for many, many years. The only time that I say that you have to really have 2 years in, if you are self-employed. If you're 2 years self-employed, they're going to want to see 2 years tax returns. That's pretty much a given. There have been times when I've had a lady that I recently did a loan back in the fall. She was in the same line. She did some personal care, some nursing. She left the nursing, went to a private duty personal care, was now 1099 or self-employed, basically. And I was able to use that history, as long as I could show she'd been in the same line, I was able to use it with her good credit and 1 year of self-employment.
Wonderful, because I had a loan denied, not me personally, a customer, a client, that did move from a W-2 to a 1099 and it was denied.
Right.
About a year ago.
And that's common sometimes. Now, I have to say this borrower was in, you know, went from nursing to self-employed private care nursing, had awesome credit, had assets, had some money put away. So there was compensating factors that allowed us to do the loan. Again, common sense underwriting came in and it was nice because there are lenders out there that won't look at that common sense. Our overlays are very few. If I run it through the engine and it comes back approved, eligible, and it says we need, you know, 1 year W-2 and one pay stub, that's all I'm asking you for. I'm not going to dig into your history for the last 4 or 5 years.
Common sense underwriting, isn't that like an oxymoron?
It is an oxymoron, Pat. It absolutely is. It's coming back, though.
I just had a lender email me. I couldn't believe it, that in order for, and again, I'm mostly on the listing side representing sellers, emailed me over the weekend and said, in order for me to order the appraisal, I need you to send me the deed and tax bills. I've never heard of such a thing.
The appraiser couldn't go get the old deed?
I guess not, but I had to do it and because they would have held up the appraisal. And as a listing agent, I don't want anything held up on my end. So, of course, I did what I needed to do immediately within 5 minutes. He had what he wanted, but I've never heard of that before.
No, I've never heard of that before either. That's usually their job.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're out of time today. I loved our discussion, and we got a lot of great information out there. Would you come back next week?
I would love to come back next week.
One more time with your contact information. Sharon Generati, local lender, loan officer, and manager, please.
You can reach me on my cell phone, 570-417-1428, or online at www.sharongenerati.com. That's www.sharongenerati.com.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you very much.
Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful 3-bedroom row house at 1425 Vine Street in Scranton for only $48,000. This home is in move-in condition with beautiful hardwood floors throughout. It also has ceramic tile floor in the modern kitchen and in the bath. Taxes are less than $1,500 a year, and it is close to Nayog Park, the hospitals, and the University of Scranton. That's a move-in condition, 3-bedroom row house at 1425 Vine Street in Scranton for only $48,000. And that's listed by John Pendrack of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Millennials, what are they buying and why? This is from the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors. Interesting article. Millennials, and that's the age group, 20 to 37 years old.
Am I in that?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sorry.
If you want to be, you're in it if you want to be. Okay. Millennials seem to be in a tough market to figure out. Are they buying? Are they not buying? Do they prefer renting? Well, they represent a quarter of the United States population. So what they are deciding in regards to their housing is having an impact on the real estate industry. This is according to UpNest, who recently conducted a survey. Millennials make up 30% of the country's home buying market and 68% of first-time home buyers. However, millennials struggle with student loan debt,
yes,
expensive rent, and lower paying jobs. Millennials have also delayed marriage and children, which has delayed their desire to purchase a home. Currently, 50% of millennials rent, 26% own, 21% live with family, and 3% live in student or military housing. However, when millennials are house hunting, they are most likely to use an agent. So we like millennials. They will most likely use an agent to find a home. 90% do so. And of those 90%, 68% only interviewed one agent. When looking for an agent, millennials said they wanted honesty, trustworthiness, and reputation. 94% use websites, and 89% used an agent to look for homes. You know, a lot of sellers think that they need to see their house listed in the newspaper, but with 94% of them looking on the internet, that's where they need to be. On websites, 88% of millennials said photos were most important, followed by detailed information about the home. And they are most concerned about the cost of housing, then neighborhood safety, and then proximity to work. Nearly half of millennials want to live in the suburbs, while 21% prefer the city. The median millennial homebuyer is 29 years old with an income of $77,000, and their typical median home purchase is a home with 1,700 square feet for $189,000. 84% view a home purchase as a good financial investment. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.